Hello, my name is Kim Collier, and today is Tuesday, the first morning of my thought residency. I was just drinking my morning coffee and looking out the window, and as I turned my attention to what I was thinking about, I realized I was once again captured by looking up at the leaves and the branches and the trees and how much they've meant to me this year, to watch the way they gently react to the wind or forcefully with such a give and take and a flow, a dance. I feel like when I lay down and look up at the trees, I'll learn so much about how to approach my future life and my life in the moment. Good morning. It's Kim. I'm heating up my morning coffee that's gotten cold. And I was just reading Bertrand Russell's Power, and I was thinking about why theater, and it occurs to me that in my life it's really the personal and the private versus the public impulse, both coexisting in me, one to take on a project that will get me out of bed in the morning and leads me into an area of research and ideas and thinking that I haven't encountered before, and I need that. It's absolutely necessary for my biological and or my what I want to say imperative. I need a lot of stimulus. But I have a missionary impulse with the theater. I'm really interested in the public part and expanding how we think about ourselves and the idea of building community and creating space, a collective space. Anyway, there's a thought for this morning. Good morning. I was just talking with my collaborator, working on Sweeney Todd. And we talked a lot about what it means to get down to work or how to work. And it's a real challenge. I think all my friends in the arts challenge it. Like, how do you get to that focus, that real present focus, in your solo, in your prep solo work? Rehearsal is easy. I think it just sort of commands itself, a kind of presence. That I find utterly liberating. But at home, it's another battle. And it's so beautiful when you finally get to that place where you're truly working. And how to do it? Well, we all talk about that, how to make that happen. Maybe more on that tomorrow. So here's one of my other thoughts about how to get down to it. And I'm thinking about there's times when you get kind of afraid, like you feel things closing in on you or the deadlines, and you start to have fear in your belly, or at least I do. And I think like fear is your friend, and it's just such a great motivating force, and it can be thought of as something so useful. Like it's not fear, it's like a creative energy, it's like potential, it's like wonderful. When I feel like that, I'm like, yes, I'll get down to it. And I think, well, I'll just keep working until that feeling goes away and rebalances back. And it's like a dance between having that feeling, working hard, wrestling with it, and then returning to like a really centered space. And I love it. I think it's great for folks in the arts. Good morning, it's Kim. Okay, here's some other thoughts about how to do it. I make rules sometimes, like really strange. I'm not allowed to have a bath or go running until I get some work done. Or I'm not allowed to work until I run, but somehow these strange rules help. Allow your focus to be in the project and let the world move through that filter. So all you do is a gathering place for ideas and thoughts when you're reading, when you're watching people, and everything you do is through the filter of your project. Have deadlines. Can clear your mind by making lists, make dates to discuss the work with your collaborators, and need to prep so you don't let them down. Get out of your house, get away from your internet, or shut your door in your house and maroon yourself, like I said yesterday. Okay, good morning, it's Kim. Here are some of my thoughts about trying to get creative work done. one of the things I do is I give myself not just, say, 3 hours in my day, but all morning, all afternoon, all night. And that allows me to sort of procrastinate and have free thinking. And somewhere in that large expanse of time with no meetings, no phone calls, no, like, heading out into the world, I drop into the center of the work. But I have all day to get there. And once I do, I just keep the ball rolling, stay in the train, do it day after day if you can. And I find once I leave that pocket, it'll be hard to get back in it again. But really giving myself the space to move towards it is super helpful. Good morning, it's Kim. I'm musing on why theater again. And, you know, sometimes when I'm about to go running, I listen to CBT Ideas programs while I'm stretching to get ready. And there was a program that referenced a poet named Sadi. It was amazing. And this is a little piece from a poem that really struck me. All men and women are to each other the limbs of a single body, each of us drawn from life's shimmering essence, God's perfect pearl. And when this life we share wounds one of us, all share the hurt as if it were our own. You who will not feel another's pain, you forfeit the right to be called human. And what struck me so much about this in relationship to our theater work is that really the suffering of those in our community and those of ourselves that isn't worked out, then we carry that together in sort of a collective whole. And the necessary work of building compassion and being able to tell stories that help move us through parts of our collective human suffering. So it's another reason for why theater is very, very important. One of the reasons I like live performing arts or theater is the unexpected. Going along in your life, and you're having another meal, and you know, you're chatting with your friends that you've gotten to know quite well, and you've done a 360 round life a fair amount, and then you're on your way to the show, and quite possibly you might encounter the having a brand new experience in your life, something unexpected, and maybe something undeniable that lifts off from the stage and into your life. And that is such a huge gift. It's so special. And it makes me, I pull that attention back to my work as a theater artist, that if we repeat, you know, what is known and borrow and mimic what has come before without some response to contemporary culture and our own frontier of the art practice, then we are not going to be able to provide that special, brand new, incredible, life-filling experience for our audience's assembly. And I think we should strive for that. Good morning. It's Kim. And I am thinking about why theater a lot. And I have something in my draft folder on my computer. And every once in a while when I'm clicking through my draft folder, I bump into this. And I never delete it. I keep it there. So I bump into it over and over again. And it says this line, the idea of drama as a ritual for the manipulation of the soul. So I like bumping into that over and over again. The idea of drama as a ritual for the manipulation of the soul. Good day. Good morning. It's Christmas, and I was just thinking here about my thoughts today, and I was thinking about gift giving and the meaning of gift giving, and how it's such a thoughtful thing to do for another person and to show that you care and your attention goes with them. There's a sort of a presence to it, a presence of mind. And I feel like that's theater to me. When back into the theater is like gift giving, and I like to imagine when I make a show, what are the gift of the show to the audience? And I think it's a nice way to think about it, is to always remember to have the attention of the audience at the front of your mind and imagine the unfolding of this presence for them and taking care of them in that process. That's my thought today. Good morning. I had an experience when I was a young theater artist. I was probably 26, and I was involved in the creation of a piece in Nigeria, proper health during pregnancy and immunization, and that piece toured villages. And it felt, when we were performing that piece and moving into different communities, that it was like, it was nourishing them like water. And it was essential to the composition or the opportunity of the day in a way that they would almost give up a meal in order to encounter this experience. And I felt like I understood really the purpose of theater in that chapter. Well, the other day I was visiting with a friend who was involved recently with a piece of theater in Africa about the HIV crisis. He said 1,000 people surrounded it and vigorously debated afterwards, and it just animated those ideas and that discussion into the community. I wonder sometimes here in Canada, in the West, in our theater practice, if we have the skills and the attention to really find what our culture and needs to be discussing. And we're such a diverse community. I don't know if the same thing can happen here, but I feel a responsibility, and I feel like together we have to really work to find out where are the little fissures that we need to be discussing. And if we do, will we feel like the theater work become like water to our community?
Experiment. I've just started recording a thought with no preconceived thought. I thought, I wonder what will happen. I feel responsible to you, the listener. I hope I still have something to say in the world. And if not, then I think it's okay to do your very best to care and love those around you. I think that's a huge thing to put into the world.
Good morning, it's Kim. I'm thinking a lot about two words, faith and presence. I was at a show a couple years ago, and I was in the theater, and there was a very intimate relationship happening between the stage and the audience, and an actress looked at me, and she said something, and her eyes seemed to look right into my eyes. There was a contact, and I felt an electric shock go through my body. And I've never experienced anything like that in my life. And it was this magical happening in the theater. And, of course, that is what's most precious about the live performing arts and our art form, is that we come together, human to human, from stage to audience. And special things happen when two or more are gathered in a room. And we know in the theater profession that we are part of that foundational very human work, and it's really precious. And that's what I'm thinking about today, because I think it is an act of faith, how we do that and keep that as a priority. And I was feeling a bit cynical yesterday about the meaning of a show and what it would do in the world. And as long as when you're cynical, the work stops. And it's our challenge to keep renewing ourselves as we age, with curiosity and faith that we can bring into our processes and into those rooms.
Good morning, it's Kim. This morning I'm thinking about intuition and preparedness. I'm in the middle of a project right now. I'm $100,000 over budget. And there is this, I think, you know, when we really do our work to the best of our ability and find, and some of the artists I respect and admire the most, there is a massive application and interrogation of the options in the work. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of going down this route and going down that route and really trying to widen your mind and your research. And somehow that preparedness and that doubt and that application gets you ready for that intuitive response to what to do and that thing that you can feel in the moment to move forward on. But I don't think it's there just on its own. I think you have to lay a really good groundwork and a lot of brooks for that. And then it's available to you, born of so many things. And away you go.